Well, this morning we're going to embrace the subject of personal character, okay? When we talk about character, I think it's necessary really to ask the question, what is our personal character? And our character can be defined as who we really are. Our moral and principled beliefs that we individually hold on to as a person. So I want to read our Proverbs this morning because I think Proverbs does a really good job. These are just a few verses of so many verses about integrity and character. I will read the underline and you read the non-underline, but you don't have to say the Proverbs after it. Okay. Even a child is known by his doings.
Whether it's worth being good or whether it be right.
That's an interesting thought, isn't it? When I read that and put it down, I thought, wow, from a child you know whether they have character. And if they don't, what do? We teach them character, right? As in water, face reflects face,
so a man's heart reveals the man.
He who walks with integrity walks securely,
but he who perverts his ways will become known.
The integrity of the upright will guide them,
but the perversity of the faithful will destroy them.
Man, those are tough verses. Abraham Lincoln once said, character is like a tree, and reputation is like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, maybe we can put it this way. Our reputation is what others think of us, which may or may not be true. But let me ask you a question. Have people mistaken their thinking of you in your life? Have people actually judged you in a wrong way? Okay, I'm not going to ask for hands because all hands would go up, right? It's very easy for people to misrepresent. And maybe we've had someone misrepresent us because they, number one, didn't understand you or didn't understand me. Or we've listened to gossip. I don't know how many times I've been caught with hearing some news about someone and finding out it's absolutely not true. You find that? Yeah, it's amazing. And on the reverse, where you and I have heard and believed something or someone else's assessment, which ends up being wrong. Our reputation is what others think of us, and it may or may not be true, but our character is who we really are. Your character is the real you, like it or not. In the sense that you cannot separate what you do from who you are. Because character is built on what we actually believe inwardly, not what we say we believe. And I want to say this because a lot of times I say to you, do you believe what God's saying? And pretty much all of you go, yeah. And then you go out and do the opposite, right? Which means we don't believe what God says. And in some ways, admitting that and understanding that may draw us in a better way to really look at it and think, God, this is what you're saying. This is what I want to believe. Help me to believe it. Rather than say, oh, yeah, I totally believe that. Yeah, it's in the Bible. That doesn't always work. Now, to a greater or lesser degree, every one of us has a public face and a private face. And most of us tend to act a little bit better in behavior around others and not so guarded in private, right? In our wandering thoughts and temptations that go against our good character may enter our heads, but we act upon what we really believe. You know, the other day I walked into a retail store and I looked up and I saw their video surveillance system. And so I'm starting to look at where did they place the cameras. I'm sorry, that's how my brain works, okay? And I'm looking at all where the different cameras are. And I was aware of it because we just got done putting a system into this church. The school Aurora School District paid for it, or is processing paying for it. And so I thought about that, and I thought, how did they do theirs? Okay, and so I quickly looked at where their cameras were, where they were located, and it's not that I was going to do anything wrong, right? But it's so funny because just knowing the cameras are there and my all sudden awareness made me think I need to watch what I'm doing here because someone could be watching me. And then all of a sudden I think, wait a minute, I'm not planning anything. Have you ever done that in your heads?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I think, but I had this impulse. Okay, well, it's just me, right? If you want a perfect church, get down the street about 2 miles. Okay. But I wanted to stick my tongue out at one of the cameras and see if they would come out and say, hey, don't stick your tongue out at me. And, you know, I had to laugh because what a crazy thing to think. But at the same time, when people are looking, we do better. And when people aren't looking, we don't, maybe at times don't do so well. You know, this last week, as I said, we put it in a surveillance. Say it took more than a week, took a couple months, but last week we put it on a big monitor, and my son John was showing me how to do the camera. I mean, we don't look at it unless something happens, and then we have to go over, you know, the camera, because who wants to sit and look at a monitor all day? But and the school has their thing, and so we're looking at it. And it was really fun because we had to laugh every so often because we had 14 cameras up all on this monitor. And then you can double click on one of the frames and it'll open up big. And so we're watching. It's the Options Teachers Day that week. And so it was just the teachers there setting up their classrooms. And so we're watching them. And pretty soon I see one of the teachers going down the hall, skipping like a kid, you know. You know, going down the hall, and then all of a sudden turn around. Make sure nobody's looking. Little do they know we are, you know. Yeah, and it was really funny. And so we got to laughing. And then pretty soon the security lady, they hired a security lady. And so she's walking down the hall, and she gets up close to one of the classrooms, and she gets up against the wall and goes, looks in the window to see what the teacher is really doing. Well, then after that, we're sitting there, we're kind of laughing because it's so funny because they don't think anybody's looking. And so that's where you see the real them, you know. And so the third one was the gym teacher. And so she was taking some of the basketballs out to do something. Well, I don't know what it was. And so she's in the hallway bouncing the basketball. Now, are the kids supposed to have balls in? No. But she's bouncing those in. All of a sudden, it hits the wall, curves around, and knocks a trash can over. And what's her first response? Nobody's looking. Put the trash back in. You know, and I just had to laugh because we really are what our character is, and our character is who we really are. And character is the sum of people's ethical and moral qualities, and it demonstrated through the choices we make. So a person's good character is someone who acts morally and ethically upright with no one looking, right? Now let me give you an example. I think probably one of the best examples I've ever seen in the world in my life as true good character. I have a friend that lives in Greenville, South Carolina, and I met him in 2005, worked with him at a company, and I immediately saw that he had good, strong character. And I've kept that relationship to this day. I still email him back and forth, and we talk because of his personal character and integrity, and which creates for him and I a trust unlike other trusts. Because I know he will always do what's right. And he's always lived by the thought that is backed up with action. And he deals with relationships. He deals with business. That it all should be a win-win situation. Win-win. And early on, I realized that about him. But I was heavily impacted. In 2008, I was working with him. And he and I were talking. And I listened to this discussion. And he was talking about this company. It was a $5 billion company, and I was out there doing some consulting with him and working with him. And this $5 billion company asked him to purchase some software. And so he recommended this one particular software company. And then he was going to assist in getting into their whole system and all 19 locations. Big company. And so I helped him out, or I wasn't doing that part, I was doing a different part, but he was helping these people get trained, that kind of thing. Actually did it in a year and a half with 19 companies, or smaller companies of that company, a record for Oracle software, okay? So the company called him, Oracle called him one day and said, by the way, the software package that you sold this company, we give you a 10% commission on that software. Okay. So the company had purchased a $10 million package. A $10 million package. Now I want you to do the math. $1 million. And he told the company, no, I can't accept that commission. I think it's a conflict of interest. $1 million. And he could have had $1 million in his pocket. But he felt like that was a conflict of interest. That was not integrity. And, you know, I look back at that and I think, well, he was working for such a big company, the company would have, I don't think the company would have ever figured out he got $1 million commission. But he considered it a personal hit on his integrity if he took that money. Now, can you say that? No. You know what? I didn't even think about that as being a conflict of interest. I mean, he bought the software package for him and gave it to him, so he told him, you just give the company that discount. So they took $1 million off the price. Now, wouldn't you like to have a friend like that? Oh my gosh. It made me stop and reevaluate my integrity because I didn't even see that as a conflict at the time. And I thought, wow, he's got higher integrity than I do. And you know, having personal character is what the Proverbs is all about when you stop to think about it. The whole book surrounds this subject. And the character of your life is so important, and especially to us as believers, to have true character. Amen? Amen. Do you really believe that, or are you just saying amen? No, yeah. The character of our own life is so important. And I believe that most of us recognize that, and we expect it in everybody else, don't we? We expect them to have good integrity. And so I'm reminded of this verse because sometimes we fail in our character, which should guide our thoughts and lives. Luke 8:17, for nothing is a secret that will not be revealed. How many times have you seen public figures do something stupid and it comes to the surface and out it comes and you think, why in the world would you do something so small? For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be made known and come to light. Luke 8:17. There's a lot of verses like that. So here's a truism. Our godly character results in good godly behavior, right? Our godly character results in godly behavior. If it doesn't result in godly behavior, then we truly don't believe what God's saying. And down deep, we're believing that we can sidestep God's instructions and gain whatever it is we're after. Security, financial security, like in my friend's life, whatever it may be. So listen to me. God's goal for us is to seek and continually develop our character. You understand? You don't just instantly drink some lemonade and put a little piece in there and you have character. It's a process. So I've come up with 4 points I think are pretty important. So here is the possible plan to straighten out our missing pieces in our character. First, believe that what God says and does stems from his very perfect and just nature. Now you may think, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I get that. No, wait a minute. Do you believe that what God says is true because of his character? He's holy and righteous, he's without sin, and we might want to disagree with his declarations because we want to put it through our filter, not his filter, but our hearts are deceptive. And we are unable to see the big picture. And yet thinking we are right in our assessment as though God hasn't thought it through enough. Isn't that crazy? Here's what God says in Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Can we admit that when God says something, we don't have all the information? He has all the information. Right? Number two, recognize and accept God's calling to holy character. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, which he means to beg or earnestly ask for, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. And you know, we've all been called by God. Do you know that you're all in the ministry? Okay, none of you are exempt. Okay, raise your hand so I can tell you you're not exempt if you think you're exempt. Okay, we're all in the ministry. It isn't just me or a few other people. We're all in the ministry. And so he said, and we use our gifts. And you know, the problem is when we use our gifts, have you ever noticed when you use your spiritual gift, it hardly takes any effort? And you kind of think, wow, that wasn't very hard. I need to do something that makes me feel like I'm really bleeding in the ministry or whatever. No, he's given us a talent to do what we do. And when God calls us to holy living, it is not only because he is holy, but because we are his holy people. Right? We're his holy people. Cleansed and declared to be righteous in God's sight because of the work of his son Jesus Christ. And he calls us to walk worthy to what we've been taught as a child of God. Number three, answer his call to love, to be unselfish and honest. The call to rightly living according to God's standards is a call to godliness. Godliness is God-likeness, right? God-likeness. And to love one another. And we all know those verses. We've read them. I want to read from Romans 13, starting with verse 8. And I only put a couple of the verses up. But owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Isn't that interesting? Love fulfills the law. In the law of Moses, there are 613 commandments. And God could have just said, love them. And that'd be it. That would be the fulfillment. But listen to what he says. For the commandments, you shall love, or you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this one saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. He repeats himself. And number four, renewing your mind daily. We are called to reflect on the God who saved us, who provides for us, who hears us, who loves us, and changes us, helps with the change that's almost impossible for us. That's why a daily reading of God's Word is so important for our souls, isn't it? And it's so hard to do. Why? Because we have an evil enemy out there that does not want you to be in your Bible. And you think, well, you know, yeah, I'm that way, but it isn't for you. You're a preacher. Oh, no. I'm telling you, Monday morning I get in there, I have to fight like crazy to get into the Word of God because I want to just go out and ride my Harley, or I want to go do something else. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's in all of us. I've never met anyone that didn't have that kind of issue. So don't let that stop you. That's a temptation. Here's what he says in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, there's the beseech again. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, thinking of all the mercies that he's given us, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And then listen to verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Word of God, right? That you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if the worship team would return to the stage, we're going to today celebrate Christ's death through communion, or the Lord's Supper as we call it here. Everybody's welcome to participate. We have two tables over here. We have two tables over here. Grab some for somebody else if you get that chance. But this fourth step is so important. Reading, listening to God's Word, meditating, evaluating yourself to see, am I where I should be in that, or are there changes I need to make? Now, I'm telling you, that number four is a huge fight, isn't it? It's a huge fight. Don't let it get the best of you. Don't let somebody tell you, I don't need to read God's Word, I've read it. Really, I talked a few years ago about one guy like that. He ended up cheating on his wife and getting out of the faith as a result of that. Don't let people talk you out of it. Don't let your temptation talk you out of it. Read or listen audio or whatever, but meditate on God's Word. Because we want to look more like God, don't we? Especially in this world today. So I want to end with this question, and then we can pray and then go into communion. What kind of character do you exhibit? What kind of character do you really have? Father, we come this morning. I think we can all admit that we lack in certain areas and we're strong in other areas. And Lord, it always scares me when we think we're strong in anything. Because Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. And Lord, we are a weak people who need your strength. Your strength to meditate on the Scriptures. Your strength to think the way you think. And then stand tall in integrity and character and stick to it. Like my friend from South Carolina who turned down $1 million in order to keep his integrity. Father, help us to be those kind of people in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.